So last week we talked about Jesus going to the Sea of Galilee, to the Sea of Genesaret, the Sea of Tiberias, has many names, but the Sea of Galilee there, and it's between those two mountain ranges, so it's got this, it's always got plenty of rain. It's a beautiful valley of much green, and the ocean, and that sea is full of fish. And so there Jesus meets a couple of fishermen, Peter and Andrew, and two brothers named James and John, and there he tells them to stop doing what you're doing and stop fishing for a living. You're going to follow me. You're going to catch fishers of men. I switched to King James this week because last week the NIV said fisher of people. Did y'all catch that? That's a mess. What was that? I love that NIV version, as you know. But so I told Dorothy to get it for her nephews, which I believe in. But today we'll do a little bit of the King James version. And the differences aren't much, but little things like that. Fishers of men. And it's not masculine, it's about fishers of all people. So then they leave what they're doing, they leave their nets, they follow him, and we remember that Peter couldn't believe he was in the presence of God, and he says, get away from me, I can't stand to be around you. You're too holy, you're too pure. And sometimes when we're around people who we deem to be better and higher than us, it's hard to be around them. Y'all been around a celebrity before? I met Johnny Unitas as a kid, so I wasn't afraid. That's Johnny U. I'm going to go get his autograph. My mom says, don't do it. Because she was in awe of Johnny. Remember? Everybody knows Johnny Unitas, right, Fran? Come on. You do. Okay, you're too young to remember Johnny. How about you, Melody? You remember Johnny Unitas? No, we'll teach you later. You mom does. Yes, we do. He was something, wasn't he? Right. He won a Super Bowl, right? Am I correct? Johnny Unitas? And I don't remember. Anyway, met him at Chantilly Golf Course. Wasn't afraid, but sometimes we're around such people who are we hold in high stature, we don't feel worthy to be around them, especially when Peter knew who he was. He knew it was God. He said, turn away from me, leave me alone. Now we see in chapter 6, we see that he's gathered some disciples together. He hasn't named them yet, he hasn't called them. But there he is. It says here in Luke chapter 6, it happened on the second Sabbath. On that holy day, that Saturday, after the first, that he went through the grain fields. And his disciples, they plucked the heads of grain, and they ate them, and they were rubbing them in their hands. And some of the Pharisees said to them, because these Pharisees are always following Jesus. You see, Jesus has a crowd following him, and he goes in the houses, and he goes in the synagogues. And so he's kind of talking against these Pharisees. And they don't like it, so they even follow him when he's walking down the road, and there's a wheat field. And the disciples grab some kernels, and they rub them together, and it's the Sabbath. And they're breaking the law, aren't they? Because what's the law say? Thou shalt not work on Sundays. Open your Bibles to Deuteronomy 6. Does it say that? Thou shalt not work on Sunday? No, it doesn't say that. You know it doesn't come. It says honor the Sabbath, right? Keep it holy. And they said, well, that means don't work on the Sabbath. And what is work? Work is washing your car, friend. You can't do that on Sundays. But maybe if it's dirty, you could. Good luck at figuring that out. So if you're sick, you can't put balm on your cut. You have to wait till the next day. And if your goat's stuck in a ravine, you can get him, right? You can do that on a Sunday. And you can water your goats, but you can't cook meal. You can't go get water to cook your own dinner. And this is following the traditions. This is following the law, right? This is honoring God. This is what the Pharisees are teaching everyone. You got to follow all these rules. You can't walk more than 100 yards from your house. But if you need to go 200, you could buy your neighbor's 100 yards for that day. Now you can walk 200. And this is being holy. And people, what, they're confused by it, and they can't follow it, right? And they think every time they break one of these laws, they're sinning. And so the people feel bad about themselves, and Jesus comes to set things straight. This is what we need, right? Someone to set it straight. And so these Pharisees, they say to him, why are you doing what is not lawful to do on a Sabbath? And we know it's not. They're not breaking God's law. They're breaking the traditions that the Pharisees and the scribes have written. But Jesus answered them. And he says, have you not read even this? What David did when he was hungry. He and those who were with him. And you remember the story from 1 Samuel chapter 20, right? When David was running from Saul, and he went to the synagogue at Nob, and there in front was dedicated to the Lord was the loaves of bread. And David took those. They're not dedicated to David, but he took them because he was doing God's work. And that's what's really important, isn't it? The bread's just going to go to waste. But David takes it. and it nourishes himself and it nourishes his friends so they continue on to avoid Saul. Because you know David's not going to fight Saul directly because Saul is chosen by God. Not David's time yet. He went to the house of God and he took the showbread and he ate it. And he gave some to those which with him, which is not unlawful for any but the priest to eat. And Jesus said, the Son of Man is also the Lord of the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for us to rest, to enjoy, to get ready for work. It wasn't meant to hinder us or harm us. So now it happened on another Sabbath, right? And here are those Pharisees again. So they're in the synagogue that day. And Jesus walks in, he starts teaching. And there's a man with his right hand is withered. And so the scribes and the Pharisees, they watch him closely. And whether that he would heal him, they're trying to catch him, aren't they? What's he going to do? Here's a man who lived his life with his broken hand. It's all messed up. And what does Jesus do? They want to find something that they can hold against him. But he knew what they were thinking. And he said to the man with the withered hand, stand up. And he stood up. And Jesus said to him, I will ask you one thing to the Pharisees. Is it lawful in the habit to do good or to do evil? Is it good to, can you save life or can you destroy it? Nobody answers them, right? They're going to wait to see what he does. He's going to break that. Hope he breaks the law. We'll have something against him. He's going to do it. And he does it. And he looked at him and he said, stretch out your hand. And the man did so and he was healed. Everyone in the room should be saying amen and hallelujah. But what are the Pharisees thinking? We got to get rid of this guy. He's got to go. To quote Jesus Christ Superstar, Andrew Lloyd Webber. Can I do it again? This is my second musical of the day. I got a limit of three. This Jesus must die. He must die. But they were filled with rage instead of joy for this man who's got a second lease on life. Now he can go back to work. Now he can go earn money for his family. He's not dependent on tithes and offerings. He can work for himself. What is not to love about that? On a Saturday, who cares? Now it came to pass in those days that he went out to the mountain to pray because he's been dealing with these people all day. He needs a little time off. And he continued all night in prayer to God. Have we ever done that? When you leave a people and you leave work or you leave a family gathering, do you need a little time alone? Do you spend enough time praying? I don't. And when I do, it's like, oh, that's what I needed. Because you know why I don't do it enough? Because I'm like Peter. You know what it means to pray? It means to invite God to sit next to you. You go to your bedroom and you shut the door and you hope your wife doesn't catch you and you're there praying. It's not a sign of weakness. It's just my self-consciousness. And you pray, and he's with you. How long can you sit in his presence? Jesus wanted it all night long. How long do you sit? You pray, he is next to you. That's good stuff, isn't it? It's also intimidating. And then it was day. And he calls his disciples. You see, he's on a mountain now. Picture, let's slow down. I know I talk too fast, but I got to slow down too. Where is he? He's on a mountainside. He went up to pray, and everyone knows he's up there, and the disciples are at the bottom. And so he's coming down, and they're going up to meet him. And so it was a day, and he called his disciples to himself, and he chose 12, because there's many more. There's a large group following him. But he chooses 12. We see in John chapter 6 or 7, I think, where he has hundreds of followers and they all leave him. Remember that chapter? Except for the 12. So he chose them. He says he chooses Simon and Andrew, James and John, and Philip and Bartholomew, who is Nathanael, Matthew and Thomas and James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon called the Zealot, and Judas, son of James, and the other Judas Iscariot, who became a traitor. And he came down with them, and there the people were waiting. There was a great multitude of people from all of Judea and Jerusalem and from the seacoast of Tyre and Phoenicia and Sidon. They came a long way. That's quite a distance from Galilee to Capernaum from the seashore, a good 70, 80 miles. And they came because they heard Jesus. This movement is growing and people are hearing about him. They come to be healed. And they know he can heal them. And he takes away the evil spirits that people are filled with. And they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him. for the power went out of him, and he healed them all. We see this in Mark chapter 5, don't we? Where Jesus is walking through a crowd, and the woman, she's been bleeding for 12 years, and she can't stop it, and so she reaches out and just grabs him, and she's healed, and Jesus is like, whoa, 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 who touched me? Because the power goes out of him when he heals. It's real. And then he lifted up his eyes towards heaven and towards his disciples, and he said this, and you've heard this before, I think it's better done in Matthew chapter 5, but this is Luke's version of it. And Luke says this to the crowd standing there and to his disciples. And blessed are the poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you shall be filled. And blessed are you who weep, for you shall laugh. And blessed are you when men hate you, and when they exclude you. And then when they revel you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice in that day, Jesus said, and leap for joy. For indeed your reward is great in heaven. So far so good, isn't it? Those who are poor will have riches, and those who are hungry will be filled. And those who are poor in spirit, you will be uplifted. And some days, you know, it's hard being a teenager, isn't it? It's hard being in middle school where kid. It's hard being a kid. And thank goodness when you get to leave it. It's great while it's there. It should be a better experience, but it was neat when I first went to college. I'm like, I can remake myself. I can be whoever I want. Nobody knows me. You know, I can be whatever. And I was a lousy football player and a poor student, so I kept those things going, no. And terrible with the ladies, believe it or not. So shocker, huh? I did change, but at least it was a clean slate. It was neat to be in college. So far, so good. But woe to your rich, for you have received your consolation. And woe to your full, for you shall hunger, he says. And woe to you laugh now, for you shall mourn and weep. Woe to you when men speak well of you, for so did their fathers to the false prophets. So not so good anymore. We've talked about this rich story, the rich young man, not too long ago. And Jesus says to the rich young man who wants to follow him, give up everything you have and follow me. Sell everything. And we look around at each other and go, well, am I the rich one? I feel that I'm rich because I know people. I have tenants. I'm a landlord, and I see people who are hurting. And me and my brother were overly compassionate. I don't want to brag about myself, but we help people get through tough times, and we work with them because we believe in who Christ is. But who is rich? We're all rich, aren't we? The parking lot has nice cars, and we have nice homes, and we have full bellies. I actually had to turn down a donut, didn't I, Jim? Because I already had one. And I don't need two donuts today. I had cinnamon bread, actually, but I didn't. Thank you. I don't need another one. I'm waiting on my hot dogs. Shouldn't be thinking about hot dogs, right? But now he gets into his heart. Some hard lessons here. All right, you rich and you fool and you those who laugh. And he says this, love your enemies and do good to those who hate you and bless those who curse you and pray for those who spitefully use you. To him who strikes you on one cheek, offer him the other also. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who asks of you. And from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. And just as you want men to do to you, you also should do to them likewise. Because if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend from those who you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. But love your enemies and do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. For he is kind to the unthankful and evil. Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. And judge not, yet you be judged. Condemn not, and you shall not be condemned. And forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running all over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. This is impossible. Is it? This is hard. You all changed now? You heard the words? You're going to turn the other cheek? And I always look at, this has always been a confusing thing. Listen to Jim Jones say these things, especially Matthew 28, when he said, go make disciples. You actually want me to go talk to people about Jesus? That's the craziest thing I ever heard of. I could never do that. So I thought, right? Fast forward, I can't stop talking about Jesus, right? Anywhere we go, Subways or on the union job, or if we're at Kmart, Walmart, we're in the pharmacy in Rising Sun, we always bring up our faith. It's a joyful thing. It's easy now. But this part still kind of gets me. Love your enemies and love those who hate you. And why does he say this? Did you see? Here's the thing. Everyone is trying to follow the book of Leviticus, right? And that's the old book there. We like some of the things it says. Like don't kill people. That's bad, right? We all know that. Don't steal. Well, that's bad. Don't, fool around with somebody who's not your wife or husband. That's bad, because that gets you murdered, right? So this book of Leviticus, and people want to toss away parts of it. There's some of it says, don't reap everything out of your garden. And the disciples were walking along, right? And they were taking what was left. It's called gleaning, isn't it? You leave something for the rest. We saw that in the book of Ruth, didn't we? Where Boaz left the edges of the fields for those. And he left a little more for Ruth, because he was kind of cute, right? And so she got extra. So we look at this book of Leviticus, and it gives us rules. And people are confused about the rules, just like the Pharisees were confused about work. Can these disciples on the Sabbath eat something? They're hungry. Where are they going to get food? They're walking along. There's no food for them. They see it, and they take it. It wasn't against the law. It was against tradition. So people had a hard time understanding what the law says. And we see there in Matthew 5, when Jesus says certain things like, you've heard it told that do not murder. And so we all got that, right? No one in this room is murdered, right? Good thing. Don't raise your hand if you have. But no one's done this. Most of us don't steal, right? But Jesus says, but I say. He came to clarify. Just because you haven't murdered doesn't mean you love someone. If you think evil of someone, if you call them a bad name, if you curse them, if you call them raka, that's the worst thing you could say. You're sinning there. And if you even look at another woman, oops, if you ever look at another woman in any way, that's a sin too. Let me tell you, you heard what it says, and I came to clarify it all for you. Because you got these mortal men, you got Pharisees and teachers of the law, taking the Ten Commandments, taking the laws of Leviticus and expounding on it in their opinion. Jesus says, you don't understand a thing. You don't understand a thing. And so you say, Sean, well, it says here, love your enemies and do good to those who hate you. And if someone wants to strike you on the cheek, offer the other side also. That's awful, right? Are we here to suffer abuse? If a husband beats his wife, should that be tolerated? No, that's not what it means. This was an insult. If you wanted to insult somebody, you would, in a shame and honor culture, in that time, you would slap them. And how would you slap them? You've all heard of a backhand remark. And they don't kill you. And does a backhanded across the face kill you? It's not like a strike or with a sword. It's backhand, man to man, I hit you across the cheek. That's an insult to that person. It's saying, I'm better than you. I give you a backhand smack. He says, turn the other cheek. What happens? You hit like this, and now you're lined up like this. And you take it. And you step forward and you say, hit me that, because now we're equals. This is an insult. This is not. This means we're equal. So you see what he's saying? He's not saying take abuse, but he's saying offer it up. Be generous. Be, as Tim Keller said, promiscuously generous. Never heard promiscuous used in that way, have you? Be give freely. So if he's going to offer you to hit you backhanded, take it where it's open. And what's that do? It confronts the person. This is an insult, but this is more than that. And I'm taking it. You confront the person. You ever confront the oppressor? So you ever get that nasty email? And then you're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And so you make the call. You said, hey, Steve, I got your email and you sounded pretty mad at me. And the Steve will say, oh, I had a bad day. I'm sorry. It didn't sound like I wanted. I didn't get the tone out like I really wanted to. I'm like, well, what can I do for you, right? And you fix it. When you confront them, it'll change them. And he's saying, if someone wants your coat, you can't have mine. It's nice. He says, you want my coat? You have to give it to them. And give them your tunic as well. That's all they had on, right? They probably had some sort of robe around, you know, to keep themselves, you know, dignified. But then they had this tunic, one piece, which was very expensive. We see when Jesus was crucified, they took it and the Roman soldiers gambled for it. And he had a coat. What he's saying is, if someone wants your coat, give it to them. In the old Hebrew law, if you wanted to borrow money from somebody, what was your collateral? You didn't have much, so you gave them your coat. But what's the law say? You got to bring it back at night so the person doesn't freeze to death. So if somebody wants it and you're going to freeze, so he says, give it to them and take off everything. Give it to them. How do they look? They look terrible, don't they? They've taken everything from me and you're standing there in the middle of town half naked. They look bad. Be overly generous. And who is wrong? The other person. It says there in the book of Proverbs, if you give an enemy food and if you give an enemy something to drink, it's like pouring what? Hot coals over their head. They're wrong. They think they're getting away with something, but it's really burning them. This is hard, isn't it? And so how do you deal, preacher, in your own house, with your own family? Why don't I stand it? Why can't I live this? My sister hates me. We built her house. We babysit her son for 16 years until he graduated high school, whatever. I mowed her grass for 9 years. And then mom dies and she thinks we're cheating. We're taking all the money, all that famous Mackey money. Y'all heard about the Mackey Gold up in Fairhill? I got it all. All right, that's how I afforded a used Chevy. I didn't even get a Toyota, you know, or a Honda. I got a Chevy, used. Made in Canada, Fran. I didn't get the American one. They make the good ones in America, in Wisconsin, and I bought the one. This is true. So we were taking care of the family like my mother told us to. Take care of things. No one has to worry about anything but Matt and I, and there's not a lot of income. You know, there's a little bit of income, and of course you give statements, and she hears from the outside forces like your brothers are stealing from you. Do you know what they're doing? We'll tell you what we're doing. Don't believe them. And then we're lost, aren't we? And then the nastiness comes and it comes. And what can I do? How many slaps to the cheek should I take? How many is enough, folks? It's hard, isn't it? It's hard. How can I change? I can't change her. I mean, how do I change myself to keep? And we deal with this at work. We deal with this at school. We deal with this in the stores. We deal with it at Costco. Boy, I hate everyone at Costco. Leave. There should be a day, Sean's day, where I get to go and shop by myself, you know? They don't have that yet, and you can't come. But these things, how do we get rid of them? How do we change? Let's close with this thought. Jesus says, someone strikes you, turn the other cheek, and he went to trial, and the Pharisees and the high priest were there, and the soldiers were there. What'd they do? They smacked him, and he took the smacking, didn't he? And they spit on him, and they put him on a blindfold. Did he spit back? He took it. They think he's weak. They think he's powerless, but he did it willingly, didn't he? And then he goes to trial with Pilate. And there he's convicted, and he's stripped naked, and they take his coat, and they take his tunic, and he doesn't fight for it back, does he? He lets them have it, and they whip him. They beat him so bad he was unrecognizable as a human, and they made him walk an extra mile, like it says, if someone makes you walk 1 mile with him, walk two. And Jesus walked all the way to the cross, and they thought he had no willpower. They thought he was unwilling to do it, but he said, I'll do it willingly. I'm going to do this. I do this for you. Who's got the power in that situation? Does the victim, is he the victim there? He is not. Everyone else who put him to death, they're the victims. We're the victims. We let him, we needed him to go because we can't save ourselves. And he said, yes, I will save you. Isn't that a wonderful way to end it up? He took it all. He took the slaps and he gave away. He was promiscuously generous with all that he had. And he didn't have to do it. He could have called on 1,000 angels to rescue him, couldn't he have? And they would have taken him away. But he said, no, not my will be done, but the Father's. I came to do the Father's work. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these beautiful words. We thank you. They can change us, and it's going to be hard. And you know it's hard on us. You know what evil looks like. We pray for that one day where good takes over, where the new Jerusalem comes down, where the new heaven and earth meet, where the seas dry up and there's nothing but land, there's nothing but that city. Where we come together and we look at one another with love and understanding and joy and such gratefulness that we get to see each other as who we are, and we are sons of God. We thank you, Father, that your Son willfully gave everything for us, wiping away our sins, that we are pure in your eyes, that we are beloved. We are like a bride to you. You see us beautiful and radiant and dressed in fine white linens. We look forward to that day. Until then, may we learn from this. May we be forgiven, and may we be forgiving and be merciful as you are merciful. It won't be easy. It wasn't easy for you, but you did it. We need to do the same. Amen.